The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Neal Clinic Chiropractor.
Mr. James Brown said, I am feeling good this morning too. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and some of you may have heard me on this station before as part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm up here this morning with Jenna. I'm sure most of you guys know her. She's great.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on again today. How's your morning going so far?
Well, I've been excited. I've been wondering what you're going to talk about today.
All right. Well, if this is your first time catching me on this morning, again, my name is Dr. Ben McMillan. And I am a chiropractor. I own the Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare Center, and I'm here this morning to talk to you about how chiropractic healthcare can help you. And what are we talking about this morning? I started doing something at my clinic recently that I wanted to share with everybody this morning. I started writing down, like jotting little notes down and then putting them in a little journal of questions my patients ask me, just stuff that, you know, in passing during their appointments, just what are my patients talking to me about? And the reason I did this was, I had a few reasons actually. The first one, I thought it would give me a good look at what people were curious about in chiropractic healthcare. Like when you go to your chiropractor, what kind of things are you thinking about? What questions pop into my patients' heads, right? Did they want to know how the adjustment worked? Were they curious about different therapy options that we offer? Was the cost of the care, insurance questions? You know, what exactly were people wondering about when they showed up for their appointments? You know, I'm really close to this stuff all the time. This is my world. I don't have a ton of questions when I show up in the morning. That's my world. But I know for these people, maybe it's their first time to a chiropractor, and I don't know what questions they may ask. The second reason, and my second intention of doing this, was not just out of curiosity, but I wanted to be able to provide some of that information to patients before they had to ask. But first I had to know, you know, what it was that they didn't know. You know, I already spend a good amount of time during our consultations covering the anatomical background of your condition. You know, if you bring x-rays or MRIs to your appointment, I'll read them. I'll explain that stuff to you so you know exactly what's going on. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a radiology report, but it's written in another language. I mean, that stuff can be pretty confusing.
Confusing and scary.
Yeah, especially if you do what everybody does. They get that radiology report, they open up that internet browser, they go to Google, and then they get terrified.
Yeah, stop doing that.
Yeah, it's... You know, it takes a little bit of time to figure out how to read those, but I'll go through it all with you. You know, I already do that stuff. I've got all types of pictures, charts at the clinic. I'll use videos. You know, I've even ended up drawing some examples for patients if I couldn't find something else that worked. And, you know, for those of you out there that have had to suffer through my drawings and that was the way you had to learn, I apologize. My art definitely will not be winning any awards anytime soon.
I think we need
soon.
To have a bad art off then.
Yeah, that's...
I can barely get through like Hangman with my children. It just totally roast me.
it's a tough one for me. I'll bring one in next time and have you guess. That'll be our next one. Guess
okay,
the condition
awesome.
And
I
off of
it.
My drawing. And you know, another reason I really enjoy doing this is because, you know, coming up to these shows is educating people, right? How they can get back to their life without having pain, and knowing and understanding what can cause their pain and how to help it, help handle it if it does occur without medications or surgeries, you know, and the surgeries, they don't even guarantee a positive outcome. You know, knowing how to do that and how you can take care of yourself, all that patient education, that's really, you know, why I became a chiropractor. I'm able to help yourself and, you know, give you those tools to handle some of that stuff. But I started this about 3 weeks ago now, you know, towards the beginning of the month, I think early March, but I wrote down a few of those questions. you know, the common ones, stuff people ask pretty frequently. And then I wrote down a few obscure ones that I didn't think I was going to get, something that kind of threw me off. I was like, well, no one's really ever asked that. So I'll share a couple of those with you this morning. If you're tuned in with us today, though, and you've got a question that you'd like me to answer, send those in to Jenna. And Jenna, is this 850-437-1620?
Yes, sir.
I got it.
One of those days. Woohoo!
Yeah, text us in those questions. I'll add them to my ongoing list, and I'll even answer your questions live on the air this morning, too. If you are tuned in and listening and you can't text those in right now, well, maybe you're out there driving around, or if you think of a question later and you want my opinion on it, go check out the Neil Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare Facebook page and just send me a message with your questions. I get those notifications. I'll give you my response on there as well. Okay, let's get right into it. You know, I've got one of those medical scales in my office, right, that has the little weights that you kind of slide back and forth. Probably not the kind of scale you have in your house, but I'm sure everybody's seen one of those at one time or another. But it also has this, it's got this big ruler on the top to measure how tall you are, right? And it's got that little arm that sticks out. You just put it on the top of your head so you can't cheat and, you know, say, yeah, I'm really 6'5". No, but it's got that arm that rests on the top of your head to measure how tall you are. Well, this actually happened yesterday. I had a patient ask, you know, she was just waiting for one of the therapy rooms to open up. And she said, hey, can I go check your scale and see if it, you know, if my home scale is accurate based on what this says? And I said, sure, of course, have at it. So she went over, weighed herself. And then after that, she saw the ruler and pulled it up and was checking how tall she was. And it was in inches. So it took her a few minutes to calculate, you know, how tall she was in feet. After, you know, you get that, I don't know, 58 inches or something. That's a tough conversion to do off the top of your head for me. But she said, you know, wait a second. This is 2 inches shorter than I thought I was. You know, when I was younger and I was getting my height taken, like, you know, I was 5'6". This is saying 5'4". I think this ruler's wrong. And I said, well, you know, I haven't, you know, I don't calibrate that thing on a regular basis for the height. So I grabbed the tape measure and it works. I mean, she was 2 inches shorter. You ever heard of that, Jenna, that people shrink as you get older?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet in myself.
That good? Yeah, you're
but
still
I feel like
young
maybe I'm just
happen.
Growing and I'm watching myself grow over my mom.
Okay,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
But you're noticing your mom, she's looking a little shorter and stature.
Yeah, right. She doesn't scare me anymore. That's she still scares me.
She's got that look she can still give you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Still today.
This is it's actually a normal part of our aging process. And that's in part due to the anatomy of our spine. Our spinal column is comprised of vertebral bones, right? These vertebrae, and this cartilaginous disc. Now, you can have an injury that causes one or several of your bones to kind of collapse in and of itself, and you'll become a little shorter that way. But those are rare, right? Those are called compression fractures, and those are typically associated with trauma more so than just like a natural aging process. But the discs in your spine, as you get older, they're going to start to dry out a little bit as they dehydrate. Imagine, you know, if you stacked a bunch of grapes up on top of each other, that would be difficult. But if you were able to do that and then you started dehydrating them and they turned into more of a raisin, right? That stack of grapes would definitely shrink as they turned into those raisins, right? It's not as dramatic a change as the grape to raisin example, but it's a similar concept, right? Those discs, they start out, they measure these things in millimeters. 5 millimeters in your neck is about how tall the average disc height is in your neck for an adult. About 12 millimeters in height for your lower back are the measurements that are on average again. But there's 23 of these things in your spine. So let's say you lose only a millimeter, which, again, this scientific stuff is often in that, you know, not inches, we're dealing in millimeters, but you've lost 23 millimeters if you only lose 1 millimeter on each of your discs. And that 23 millimeters is just about an inch. And the chances that you're going to lose more than just that one tiny little millimeter, that's actually pretty high, especially in your low back where we put a lot of compressive force on those discs. And they're bigger to begin with because that's kind of where we need more cushion anyway. So it's pretty easy to actually be 2 or 3 inches shorter by the time you're around 60 than when you were younger. And those discs have a lot of hydration and they're, you know, really fluid filled. I got another question for you, Jenna. Have you ever heard anyone say that you're taller when you wake up in the morning than when you went to sleep?
No, but that's interesting.
Yeah. It's true. And it's kind of along the...
Sounds like something your grandmother would
say. Yeah, the old wives' tale.
Yeah.
It's kind of along the same line as being shorter as you age. But when you lay down at night, that compressive force of gravity is now taken off of your back, right? It's not compressing down on your spine. You're laying still, and that's when these discs, they begin to rehydrate. They actually swell up slightly and expand a little bit. And the same concept, right? If each of these discs are expanding a little bit after a good night's sleep, they're actually a little taller in the morning, and so therefore you're a little taller. Now, this expansion doesn't stay for too long, right? As soon as you stand up and get out of bed in the morning, gravity begins that, you know, relentless effort of pulling you back down, and those discs, they begin to compress and you return to that normal height. And it's not that, you know, if you just sleep for, you know, 10 hours a day, you know, instead of 8, you're going to be taller and taller each time. There's definitely a limit to that. So don't think you can just sleep and continue to grow, but you are slightly taller when you wake up in the morning than when you went to bed. Another question that I encountered, I was treating another patient a few weeks ago, and I'd been treating her initially for some lower back pain. And, you know, this particular time, she came in and I could tell something was just slightly off with her. You know, normally she's really cheerful, really happy. But this particular day, she was wearing sunglasses up in the waiting room. You know, she didn't really talk much as she came back to the adjusting room. So I said, you know, how's your lower back feeling? And she said she was doing much better, but she had a headache today. And she said she normally doesn't get headaches. And I was saying, you know, part of treating your spine as a chiropractor, you know, that involves me palpating and assessing your joints, which will help identify these motion segments that may or may not be causing a problem. And like I said, I'd been treating her lower back, but that day I said, you know, I was asking her if she would be okay with me assessing her cervical spine. And she said, sure, of course. So she agreed. And as I started palpating her spine, I started pressing on different joints on her neck. I came to a spot that I felt was a little more stiff than the rest. And I pressed gently onto it to try to move it. And I said, hey, do you have any pain where I'm pressing with my finger right here? And she said, oh my gosh, that is crazy. None of the rest of those places you touched at all hurt. But when you press there, it's sensitive and I can feel it all the way up to the back of my head. You know, why is that? And I hear this every day. You know, patients will say, I didn't even know I had a problem in my neck until you pressed in that spot, or it didn't hurt until you started poking on it. So what is going on there? Why is this patient, you know, she presented with a headache. She didn't really say she was having any neck pain. She wasn't noticing anything until I started pressing on that spot. Well, the sensation of pain is actually a signal that's gathered by these peripheral nerves that send a signal back to your central nervous system where it's processed by your brain. In this instance where I was pressing on her cervical vertebra, that spot where she felt the pain, well, that was a joint that wasn't moving as it should. We call that joint restriction or joint dysfunction, I'll call it sometimes. And it may not cause pain initially because our bodies are really, really good at compensating. You've got 7 bones in your cervical spine, and each of those has a joint between each other. So if one of them isn't moving really well, you've got 6 others that are going to try and move just a little bit more to make up for that dysfunctional joint. But that headache, that was a sign. You know, she's not somebody that normally gets them. I was asking her about caffeine intake. You know, sometimes when people go on these cleanses, they stop drinking coffee or something, and that can cause some headaches, or no new medication, she was saying. So she didn't have any of those other outside triggers. So I thought there was a good probability that she was having something called a cervicogenic headache, which these things are the result of joint dysfunction in your cervical spine. And that's what we're talking about. You've got these nerves that innervate all the joints in our body. So that way our brain knows how and where our body parts are moving. you know, it's one of our senses. It's not the one of the big five senses that we talk about with like touch, where you touch something and you feel it, or you look at something, you see it, you smell it. But it's pretty obvious when we talk about big joints that you've got this sense, right? Joints like your elbow or your shoulder. I could tell you to close your eyes and keep your arms straight. You know, don't bend your elbow, and raise your arm up all the way up until you have it straight up over your head. And you'd be able to do that with your eyes closed, right? So when you open your eyes, you wouldn't be surprised to see your arm sticking straight up in the air. But did you ever stop and think about why you knew your arm was in that position? You're not looking at it. You're not touching it to know that it's moving up there, right? So how exactly do you know that it's up there without looking at it? Well, it's something called proprioception, or the feeling where our joints are in space in relation to our body. And the same thing occurs with the joints in your spine, except for these joints are much smaller, and most of us aren't quite as in tune with those as we are our large joints, like those knees or your hips. But when joints are dysfunctional or they're restricted, the nerves that innervate that joint, they're going to send a signal back up to your brain that, hey, there's a problem here. Kind of like one of those warning signs I was talking about on the cars a week or two ago, right? You get that light, that signal up on your dashboard, and it says, hey, there's something going on. Now, the next thing that can happen with this is your body's going to respond with an inflammatory response. And typically, the muscles in that region will begin to tense up in an effort to make sure that you don't continue to move that dysfunctional joint, because your body thinks you could injure it more and more if you just keep trying to move it and it's not moving the way it should. So to get back to my patient with that headache, we found that she had a restriction in her C5, C6 cervical joint that was resulting in that muscle tension along her cervical spine, which was causing her to have that headache. After her adjustment, she said that she felt like she was able to move her neck a little more freely. And I told her that her headache should begin to dissipate over the next hour or so as well. And this pattern is so common. You know, most of us don't even pay attention to the small warning signs that something's off with our body. One of the questions that I always ask during our consultation is, when did these symptoms begin? And I'd say, you know, over 50% of people say that they've been dealing with these symptoms for over a month. I did some math before I came up here. On the last 40 new patients we saw in the clinic, less than 20%, it was 7. 7 out of 40 patients said that their symptoms had begun within the past 7 to 10 days. And like I said, I think it was over 50% said they'd had these for more than a month. That means people are going through their lives with these painful conditions and symptoms that, if you continue to let go unchecked, will eventually lead you farther down that degenerative cycle that I'm always talking about. And eventually you'll wind up in my office or your chiropractor's office with much worse pain and symptoms than if we were able to treat that when it first happened. And that's honestly the best case scenario if you do end up in your chiropractor's office. You know, if you keep letting this stuff go, depending on how long you wait to do something, you may end up, you know, talking with a surgeon or a neurosurgeon or an orthopedic surgeon, which is, you know, surgery is always the last resort, but sometimes that's the necessary steps you have to take to treat that condition that you've just let degenerate over time for so long. And while I'm on the subject of waiting until it's too late, if you or somebody you know that has been involved in a car accident, don't wait to schedule your consultation. Now, there's a few reasons for this. First of all, injuries sustained to the joints and ligaments and your muscles in your neck, even at lower speeds, can cause lasting effects that you will feel, you know, for potentially up to a year, even longer after your accident. Again, they do this research studies on this all the time, on these even low impact car injuries that cause these whiplash injuries to your neck. People have pain and complaints for a year after. And just like my patient that came in with a headache, she didn't know she had a problem with the joints in her neck. Many of these patients that have been in auto accidents, they don't even begin to feel their symptoms for 10 to 20 days after they've been in the accident. And they continue to wait around, and, you know, they do that thing, this will get better, I'll just wait it out. But it doesn't. And they come in a month or two after their accident, and they're in pretty rough shape then. Even those of you who, you know, maybe you tried to go get treated. You went to the emergency room after the accident. Maybe the EMS came and said, hey, you should go to the emergency room. And when you're there, they probably took an X-ray or a CT scan and they said, well, everything looks good. Here's some extra strength ibuprofen, maybe a muscle relaxer. Go see your doctor if you're still hurting in 6 weeks. This is not what the research says is the best way to deal with these whiplash injuries. Now, and you know, I'm not knocking the emergency room, right? When you arrive at the emergency room, their main job is to save your life. So when they get a patient complaining of neck pain or headaches, what they need to do is they need to make sure that your brain isn't bleeding inside your skull and that you didn't fracture any of the bones in your neck if you're having neck pain. And if those two things are clear, you know, their job treating you is pretty much finished because they need to move on to see if the next patient in line is suffering from a life-threatening injury. But what about those injuries that you did sustain to your body during a car accident? Will they just get better with the muscle relaxer or ibuprofen over a few weeks? Of course not. But the ER doesn't have time to deal with those injuries. They can't give you the hands-on care for several weeks or months, depending on the severity of your injury. That's not what they're set up to do. But I do have some good news. That is exactly what your chiropractor is set up to do. That's the type of care your chiropractor provides. We are the experts in treating these musculoskeletal injuries like whiplash or disc herniations that you may have as a result of that car accident. Even the insurance companies know this, and this will kind of play into a question somebody texted in. I have a question. They said, after you have an auto accident, how do you know if you need to come and be checked out by a chiropractor, and how much would that initial exam cost? Okay, yeah, cost. That's a big factor for pretty much everything we do, right? You want to know how much is it going to cost before you sign up for, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars of anything that you're doing. With these auto accidents, if you have been involved in a car accident, you should go get checked out. If you don't get checked out within 14 days, you lose that coverage from your auto policy. Your auto policy, every single one in the state of Florida, includes care for the injuries sustained during those auto accidents. That's why we have it. That's part of every policy. I don't care if you have Geico, State Farm, USAA, it doesn't matter which of those company, any insurance company in the state of Florida, you have coverage. There's a but though, and of course, right, there's always a but. If you don't seek care within that first 14 days, you lose the medical coverage provided by your auto insurance policy. And like I was saying earlier, sometimes these patients don't even notice their symptoms for up to 30 days after that accident. So, you know, maybe they're noticing while they're at work, now they're getting a little more headaches that they never used to, or they're having trouble going to sleep because the positions that used to be comfortable are now causing neck pain or back pain, and it's just getting worse. So they finally come in, but it's been after that 14 days. Now their policy doesn't cover them, and now they're stuck paying for those bills that their auto insurance policy should cover. Now, what is that actual number? That's going to depend on the severity of your injuries, the length of your treatment plan, but your auto insurance policy pays for that. It's not something that, you know, you're paying out of your pocket to get care for. That's why you pay those premiums every month, is to have this, to get your car fixed, and to make sure your body's going to be taken care of after that. Jenna's giving me that sign that I'm out of time again. So I'll wrap up. I really thought I was going to get to a lot more of those questions. I wrote down 7 or 8, but again, my name's Dr. Ben McMillan. My clinic is the Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare Center. We're on Creighton Road. My number is 850-479-2700. You can call and schedule your appointment or schedule online at nealclinic.com, neal.com. Thank you all for tuning in and listening, and those of you that texted those questions.